The General Services Administration has two new tools to help federal agencies navigate the world of IT acquisition. The names of the programs ought to give you a clue about what GSA is trying to do. One of them is called the Enterprise Acquisition Solution Integrated, or EASY, and the other is the Assisted Services Information System, or ASSIST. Larry Allen is president of Allen Federal Business Partners, and he writes the Week Ahead newsletter, and he has predictions for how well the programs will live up to their names. Larry, it sounds like a great idea, and I love the names, but I keep going back to something I think you and I talked about off the radio a couple of weeks ago when my colleague Jason Miller reported about the office supplies protests, and he included in his story the statement from GSA that there were these other two ways that people could buy their office supplies until OS3 is reinstated. And my question to him was, well, if there's already two other ways they can buy office supplies, what's OS3 for? And nobody has really been able to answer that question. Are we looking at the same kind of thing here with EASY and with ASSIST, or is this really a newer, better way to get stuff?
Well, I think that's a legitimate question. I kind of see the EASY system, Francis, as an evolution of systems that GSA has put together in the past, some of which have worked well. Others have had to be replaced after they were stood up. I think, with EASY running under Liz Del Negro's leadership at GSA, she's a very experienced IT hand, senior member in the CIO's office. That should get stood up fairly well and run, and it'd be the next generation of an assisted acquisition system that would be automated, make it easier for agencies and contractors.
I think the interesting element about EASY, you write in the Week Ahead newsletter, it's a result of a collaborative effort among FAST, PBS, and the GSA CIO's office. I don't think I've ever seen a collection like that of firepower getting together under one roof.
Well, it's refreshing to really see FAST and PBS, the two main parts of GSA, working together. It's something that industry has long hoped for, whether it's in the development of a new assisted acquisition system or even just sharing common information with each other. So I think there's a lot of reason to be optimistic about it. Throw the CIO's office in on top of it, and you might have something that federal customers might use and get some benefit from.
You write in the newsletter, their success is contingent on the realization by GSA leaders outside of IT who understand the collaborative processes are essential not just inside their agency, but between the agency and its contractor partners. So the collaborative model looks good, it sounds like to you, but it's not the end of the collaborative effort that you'd like to see.
Well, that's exactly right. And give the GSA leadership high marks for trying to come out with cutting-edge systems that make the acquisition process better, and for working with federal customer agencies on ways to make sure GSA is serving their needs. The one area where I think industry looks at GSA leadership where it needs to come up a notch or two is in its relationships with contractors. You know, contractors are part and parcel of whatever solution GSA comes up with. EASY and ASSIST, for example, weren't invented inside of GSA out of whole cloth. It took contractor collaboration to get these systems up and running. Sometimes I think, though, Francis, GSA's leadership looks at contractors as a barely necessary evil when, in fact, they are serving the same common customer that GSA is.
Larry Allen's president of Allen Federal Business Partners, and he writes the Week Ahead newsletter every Monday. And you can find out how to sign up for it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. I give you credit. You do things in this newsletter that I would never expect. You figured out how to work in naked pictures of superstars and federal procurement. I'm mystified, I must say.
Well, now everybody's going to want to see this issue of the newsletter.
So. Well, that's kind of the point of the gig, isn't it?
Well, what I'm talking about here is that, look, we all saw the news last week about Jennifer Lawrence and some of the other celebrities who had their pictures stored on the cloud hacked. And while that is certainly salacious and attention-grabbing in its own right, there really is a Washington implication to that, and that is how contractors are able to speak about cloud security in terms of the solutions they're offering federal agencies. Even though this particular incident was unrelated to federal systems, I think contractors need to be prepared to answer the questions, how do we make sure that the government's sensitive information that could be stored in the cloud remains safe? And there will be, and there have been questions, actually, to contractors that came directly from the Jennifer Lawrence fallout. So this is one of those rare instances where Hollywood and Washington get to come together.
It strikes me, though, that one would hope that I believe everything that you're saying, unfortunately, because it's sad that we're not still at the point where the security elements become part of the product or part of the service that you're buying, and not, oh, by the way, it's also secure too.
Well, right. It's security, I think, needs to be a given, but.
And I'm not suggesting that people shouldn't inquire about the security provisions and how that security is deployed, but it sounds like we're unfortunately still at the stage, based on your observations and what I'm hearing elsewhere, we're still at the stage where security is and also not included in the main part of the presentation about the service.
I think there are a couple of reasons for that, Francis. One is security is probably kind of assumed in the commercial market. So contractors that are offering commercial-based solutions probably feel like they don't have to break that out. But what we've seen in the federal market, and I think one of the things you're getting at, is that there are varying levels of acceptance and comfort with cloud-based solutions. There are some federal agencies that are totally on board. There are others that are still very skittish about even putting their applications into the cloud, something that other agencies have done now for a couple of years. So when you see that different comfort level, that different knowledge level, I think that requires contractors to break out the security discussion as a discrete part of the solution so that customers understand that it's there.
You write in the newsletter, remember the celebrity incident caused Apple to have to publicly state that its systems weren't responsible for the problem. I mean, I don't even know if you can call that plausible deniability at this point.
Well, right. And I think, whether or not you believe Apple's statement, and I certainly don't purport to be an expert on the iCloud, my central point here is that ambiguity over liability is never a good thing in government contracting. If there's any ambiguity at all in your contract about what you are responsible for, guess what? You, the contractor, are responsible for it, whether or not you think you are. So my recommendation there to the contracting community is that you make very clear in your task orders and contracts who's responsible for what and exactly what your solution is liable for, so that you don't end up with this. Because while Apple might have gotten away with denying this in a press release, I don't know that a government inspector general office would be as forgiving.
I think you're probably right about that. The last item in the newsletter this week strikes me as kind of a what's good for the goose is good for the gander story, Larry.
It is, and that is, look, we hear a lot, and in fact was mentioned on your show on the Countdown last Friday, Francis, that government agencies are trying to get five-star service at two-star prices. They really want to get some very specialized solutions without having to pay the price. And contractors, understandably, are resistant to do that. They can't offer the, if you will, Cadillac solution at the Chevrolet price. And yet these same contractors, when they turn around to their suppliers, they expect kind of the same thing that they chastise their government customers for wanting. They want all of the advantages of having a top-notch information system about what's going on in the government market, for example, without having to pay for it, and they think that it's all available at deeply discounted rates for the Internet. Well, if they could stop and hear themselves talking, they would probably find that they sound an awful lot like the government customers, that they have a hard time convincing their solution is worth what it's worth, and it's the same thing here. So this is my call out to remind people that, look, if you're looking for that thorough top-shelf solution, whether you're a government customer or a contractor that's buying from one of your suppliers, understand that quality does cost something, and that sometimes that's the best deal for you because you can't afford to buy cheap. If you're buying cheap today, it might cost you more tomorrow.
You mentioned that comment about government contracting or industry contracting people stopping and hearing themselves talking. That's the reason I can't sleep most nights. I hear myself talking.
Well, this is, you're talking to somebody who dreams about government contracted and procurement, which is really tragic.